Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Hour number three here on... It's our last broadcast hour of the month of April. Holy cow, where did the month go? Tomorrow, May 1st, ring a bell, May Day, big socialist communist holiday. You think that's going to amp up these college campus idiots even farther? I think it probably will. So just brace yourself for that nonsense. I just can't believe every news story is now filled with the with the Columbia story and the UCLA stories. This is being permitted. And Rhonda and I were talking earlier. She said, "What is this like? What is this like? What is it reminiscent of? What echo in history?" And I can only think. And again, nothing is apples and apples. But as I often say, I was born in November of 1957, just 2 months earlier. President Eisenhower had to call in the National Guard so that a young black girl could go to high school at Central High in Little Rock. I was born into that country. So, I mean, that's in a way that's shocking because I know I've been alive for a long time, but it's like, really, is it that long? And the civil rights battles were in full swing, took to the mid-60s to have the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and all of this. And it's not like we fixed everything yet attitudinally. You can still find your occasional bigot. But these days, a lot of times, the bigotry is political, as we talked about earlier in the show. And now what we have is students unable to go into a building because they're Jewish. And it's other students. It's other students who are doing it. It's not the institutions themselves. I mean, the young lady couldn't go to Central High in Little Rock because the school system said, we ain't letting no black kids in here. And that kind of needed fixing. Here's George Wallace standing in the door at the University of Alabama. That's a flipping governor. What we have now are other students, hooligans, punks, brats. The inmates are truly running the asylum. Texas is doing something about it. State of Florida doing something about it. Whew. Let me do a couple of calls here. Folks have been waiting. Appreciate that. 866-660-5759. And then our UCLA hero who put video to his situation says that, look, I'm not going to touch anybody. I'm not going to hit anybody. And this is funny because he shows enormous restraint. At one point, he's like asking them questions. I just want to make sure here. You are not letting me pass, right? You are not letting me pass. You are not letting me go down that sidewalk and into that building for a class of mine. I just want to make sure that you are not letting me do that, right? And these idiots all say the same thing. It's like from an index card. We're not engaging. We're not engaging. This is the point where if it's me, I say, well, my fist is about to engage with your mouth. You got 10 seconds to step aside. And that's not the smartest thing, one person, because then all of a sudden it's his fault. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he hit a protester. You got to walk the thinnest of lines in all this. But then a woman called the UCLA campus police and said, are you guys permitting this? The answer was depressing. So let me get to that here in a second. But calls first, 866-660-5759. We are in Louisville. Tom, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. You know, one point that I haven't heard anybody bring up is, you know, when they ask, why do the universities allow all this to go on? Mm-hmm. And it's pure economics. You know, they have a huge number of foreign students who are engaged in all this, who pay full price to go to that university, mm-hmm. as opposed to the locals who pay something much less.
They can.
And the last thing they want is to become persona non grata with foreign students in general. You know, you take someplace like UTD here in town, which is something like 80% foreign students. Imagine what would happen if suddenly they were blacklisted, you know, among foreign people as a place to go.
So how might that go? Do you think that if a university really did crack down, which is what they all need to do, that the word would go out among students internationally that, hey, if you come to America, you don't want to go to this university because they won't let you hate Jews in public?
Well, I don't know about him not hating Jews in public, but the if you consider a large number of these students do come from Middle Eastern countries, and they say, well, this university favors one group over another, and the group they're favoring isn't ours, they might choose to go somewhere else.
They might, and that's a real interesting marketplace observation. And with anything, because all politics is always a strong motivator, but follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. Tom, sound theory. Appreciate it. So here's the thing. Let's say you have a university that's getting ready to crack down. Couple of things about painting with exactly the right size of a brush. If you head into any of these crowds of idiot protesters, will there be some folks who are of Middle Eastern extraction? Of course there will. You will also find on the same campus, even at Columbia, I'm sure, students of Middle Eastern extraction who are being driven crazy by this. It's like the Pakistani shopkeeper after 9/11 is like, oh, God, you didn't do me any favors. Stop it. I want no part of this. Also, what you will find in these groups of hooligans and students is stupid white kids. The thing that they all share in common, or even some stupid black and Hispanic kids, what they share is a political vendetta. What they share is Jew hating. They share this type of bigotry, and that bigotry may know no particular racial bounds or ethnic or national origin bounds within that group. So if a university is looking to crack down, which they all should do, Tom's point was interesting. He said the perception may go out that the university is taking sides and it's not our side. What do we have at Columbia? What do we have at all these universities? Let's take the portion of the protests that are indeed Middle Eastern kids. Okay. Lebanese kids, Iranian kids, Yemeni kids, Iraqi kids, whatever. They chose to go to the university, right? They're obviously there. And the university was already in some endowment business relationship with Israel. So, hello, that was there. Do your homework if that's a huge problem. That's a deal breaker. Go somewhere else. So there's nothing about a university's business relationship with Israel that means that they will that any Muslim or Arab student will be in any way ill-served on that college campus. This is all just fake, hyped up. It doesn't mean that their feelings aren't valid. I mean, if somebody has a really strong pro-Palestinian, vibe going, fine, that's a side you get to take. You don't get to hate on Jews in public. You don't get to block them. You don't get to, do all manner of this jackwagon behavior. You do not get to do that. But it should not harm a university in the least. In the global marketplace to crack down. I got to tell you, for every one student that's sitting over there in Baghdad who doesn't want to come to the University of whatever because they actually cracked down on the protesters, there are probably 5 or 10 really good, promising engineers strewn across the Middle East who actually will want to come to that campus because what they actually want is an education. So, 866-660-5759. We're in Weatherford. Matt, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
I agreed completely with what you had to say earlier about religious bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
But one term that you use kind of makes my teeth itch, and that is Islamophobia.
Yeah.
Why do we have a separate word for bigotry against that religion as opposed to others? We don't have Semitophobia or Christophobia.
No.
It's the same problem
Matt, stop. We have anti-Semitism. Of course we do.
But,
right, so that's what that is.
The difference is the phobia.
I guess you could call it Jew phobia, I suppose, but it's just
a
different term.
But what I'm getting at is it's different because everything else is dislike of or disapproval of, but phobia means fear of.
Right.
And that's a different, it just strikes me, it's like when we got the hit with the word homophobia.
Right.
If you don't agree with a particular agenda in relationship to alternate lifestyle and stuff. I don't know. It's just a word choice thing. It's always kind of
I know,
me.
and we are the Words Mean Things talk show. So I think that since Islamophobia is pretty new, I mean new against the backdrop of American history, and how many decades has that been around? Homophobia also fairly recent against the backdrop of centuries. Anti-Semitism as a term been around forever.
And it's anti, not well,
but,
fear of.
But here's the thing that's harsher.
Afraid of them.
Of course, fear is behind a lot of the anti's. Fear is behind a whole lot of bigotry. The left fears conservatives, so they engage in political bigotry. But I would think that if this phobia as a suffix, homophobia, Islamophobia, it is indeed a fear like agoraphobia and acrophobia. Fear of is probably less toxic than being literally anti-something. Anti-Semitism.
So.
I mean, you don't just fear it. You're against it. So my general advice is don't sweat it.
Yeah,
I think everybody, you know, and in fact, a comforting thing, if that's even the word, is does everybody basically get it? If you say, what is anti-Semitism, everybody pretty well knows what that is. It's holding somebody in lower regard or mistreating them because they're Jewish. Islamophobia, same thing. Holding somebody in lower regard or mistreating them because they're Islamic. Homophobia, holding someone in lower regard or mistreating them because they're gay. It is not a political view you hold. I mean, standing up for the biblical view of marriage doesn't make you homophobic. Wanting to crack down on terrorists after 9/11 doesn't make you Islamophobic. So we got to use them properly, but those are the proper meanings.
Yeah, and you may have convinced me, but here's another thing. It is maybe in one case, it's because the word flows. There's not a good way to say Jewophobia. Just very silly.
Exactly.
Whereas Islamophobia rolls off the tongue.
There's a poetry to it. Yeah, I said, and listen, sometimes that guides the usage. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very, very much. Okay. Red alert bulletin here, kids. We have a development in the Trump gag order case. Here we go. Judge rules on Trump gag order violations. He has now been threatened with jail time. A New York judge, Juan Mershon, has ruled that former President Donald Trump repeatedly violated the expansive gag order imposed in his hush money trial. Judge Mershon held Trump in contempt for 9 violations of the gag order, imposed a $1,000 fine on him for each of the violations, and Judge Mershon warned Trump he will face jail time if he continues to violate the gag order. So here we go. Hold on. Let's get some phraseology from this. Defendant is hereby warned that the court will not tolerate continued willful violations of its lawful orders, and that if necessary and appropriate under the circumstances, it will impose an incarceratory, is that a word, punishment. Trump received, here's good. There's good news, bad news. The bad news is the blatantly unconstitutional gag order. The good news is Trump will indeed be able to attend his son's high school graduation next month. You know what I wanted him to do? Basically tell everybody, listen, I'm going to the plane. I'm going to my son's graduation. So at the start of April, history on the gag order, Judge Mershon expanded it to prohibit the former president from criticizing Mershon's daughter, who is a rabid, mouthy Democrat activist. By the way, you get to be a rabid, mouthy Democrat activist in this country. But if that's the judge's daughter and something that strikes you as something's rotten in Denmark, shouldn't you maybe be able to say something about it? And again, free speech means everybody can say whatever they want. I mean, you can't like identify a juror and say, I'm going to kill you. If you convict me, I'm coming to your house. Of course, you can't do that. But in a world where Michael Cohen can savage Trump every day and Trump can't say anything in return, it's absolutely insane. Testimony is set to resume later today, and so there's your Trump gag order update, 9:22. All righty, 9:28. Got like a half hour of show left in the month of April. I better get going here. Hey, we got busy. People calling us about stuff. So let me get to this. Adventures walk, don't run. Well, let me run to this chunk of video here. Here is the brave UCLA student. His sin is Jewishness, and he comes up across a line of students, arms locked, and they will not let him pass. So here's the video of him and how he handles it.
Will you move?
Oh, hang on a second. Let me start at the beginning. Here we go.
You guys have closed the entrance. We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burger while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody.
He attempts to walk through them, just walks slowly through them, and they tighten up the linked arms and will not let him pass.
Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school.
It's a sidewalk that leads to a building. He wants to get into the building. And these Jew-hating punks won't let him.
And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Well, I can't think of, will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
We're not engaging.
We're not engaging, is their answer. Oh, well, guess what? If you lock arms and you won't let me get by you, you are engaging.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging in that.
Okay, we're going.
And then at a point he says, okay, let's just walk. Let's attempt to walk around them, walk through them. That's just going to take short, you know, measured steps.
We're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them. That's what they do. That's what they do, everybody. You guys are promoting aggression. You guys are promoting hate. We're UCLA students. We deserve to be there.
So there you are. It's all this is on my Twitter, on my X. You can find all of it. Just scroll back, and there's that young man. Let me hop into the newsroom with Nikki Whaley, and then we'll come back out, and let me play you the mom who apparently has a son that this happened to as well on the Jew-hating campus of UCLA. And so she asks them, calls the campus police and says, what are you guys going to do about this? The call is both instructive and depressing. Speaking of things that are depressing, we'll play a little game called Who Wrote This? Maybe you've gotten a post from a prominent Texas Republican. we'll play Who Wrote This, and we'll see what the lessons are from that. So many lessons to be learned. So many lessons. 9:30, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Here's Nikki in the newsroom. Sometimes I enjoy this. Bands everybody knows. But songs you might not. On the 1984 Fleetwood Mac album Mirage, the late, I can't believe she's gone, late great Christine McVie and Only Over You. 866-660-5759. All right, so I'll do the lady who calls UCLA and says, what are you guys doing about this? Do that in a second. Let's grab a call. We are in Allen, Texas. Jeff, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Tuesday.
Mark, thank you, sir.
Hey.
You know, it's gone on long enough. It's time for these students to be arrested and charged with something so we can identify who they are. But the second thing I would love to see is some veterans go to those schools and protest the Muslim protesters and see how quickly they're drug out of there by their feet, because they would be.
Well, okay, let's do apples and apples. There have been a number of campuses where pro-Israel demonstrations have happened, and if those don't violate any laws, I mean, if those don't violate any rules, if those actually do remain peaceful, ain't no reason to drag anybody out of there.
It's not, but it's about the optics.
It is,
and that's where,
no doubt,
it wouldn't be allowed.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, even if at a particular hotbed university, if somebody wants to hold an "I love America, I support Israel, I serve this country" rally, the university's not going to have any problem with that. I mean, I really don't think so. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how combative some of the Jew haters would be at that on that occasion. But the funny thing about, first of all, and in this video, and Jeff, thank you, in this video of the young man, And about 30 minutes ago when I talked about I'm going to play it and how many of us, you might be sitting here listening to him and saying, listen, I'll deck one of these jokers. I'm going to class, you know, and then, yeah, that's, you know, easy to bow up and say that. And maybe that is something that would be your temptation. Probably not your best course of action. Of course, and here's the one thing. I don't know if I've heard anybody talk about this. At any given stretch of footage, about 80% of these idiots appear to be women. Can't hit a girl. So that's a universal. So I don't even know what that's about. But all right. Speaking of women, here is a woman who has a son at UCLA, Jewish mom, Jewish son. So there's the problem. And she calls UCLA, calls the UCLA campus police to ask, listen, they won't let my kid go into a building. Y'all going to do anything about that?
They said because he's Jewish, he cannot enter that area and that they won't issue him a wristband.
So that wasn't a university thing. That's probably the protesters that are out there.
Yeah.
Right. So are the protesters allowed to not allow a student who pays tuition access to their class in the library?
No, they're not allowed, but unfortunately they have kind of taken over that little area right there.
They're not allowed, but unfortunately they have taken over that little area. So guess what? They're allowed. If you have something happening and the police do not bust it up, by definition, it is being allowed.
But is there any other entrance that your son can enter?
Are there any other restaurants that will allow the black family to eat? You know, are there any other, you know, golly, man, that's just, I mean, what's the problem here? Just go find a place that will let you in. Right.
No, they are barricading every area for him to get into. Mm-hmm. And you know, with all due respect, why is that even tolerated? Like, why should a Jewish kid have to go to another entrance?
It's I don't know if I'm going to say it's tolerated, but unfortunately the police are not intervening with that.
So it's tolerated. This is really, really simple. This is really simple. If you have jack wagons doing something and the university police don't stop them, say it with me, that means that it is tolerated. That means that it is allowed. So, and bless the lady, Sarah. She's just, you know. She's just working the front desk at the police department that day. I kind of feel for her, but...
Now, and this is coming from the university, so if you had any questions or concern, you would take it with the university itself.
Good advice.
So the university has taken a stance that they will not, in fact, allow or help Jewish students get to their classes. That this is going to be tolerated.
We've received a directive to not intervene. Whew. Joe Biden's America. This is a hashtag. This is, I may need like an audio drop just where I hit the button. Boop, Joe Biden's America.
Yes.
And at what point, have they given a directive to you at what point you should intervene?
This mom is good. She's asking exactly the right questions. And I think she may well know that we've pretty well run out of what the lady answering the phones at the university police department can do. But it doesn't mean the conversation is not fruitful.
As far as right now, no.
Okay. Is there anything we can do as concerned parents about...
I would suggest contacting the chancellor's office or higher ups in the university.
Anyone but me at this point, ma'am. Anyone but me. I have file folders to alphabetize.
With your concerns, I do have a phone number, but I don't know if they're going to answer, if they're going to have a different answer, but I can give you a phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you give me that number?
Okay, listen,
310.
No, okay, dude, I don't need to do that. Or maybe I do. Find the video yourself. Oh, my gosh.
And, ask your questions and express your concerns there and see if they have an answer for you. Yeah.
Okay, lastly, just so I know, at what point does UCPD get involved?
Okay. We're going around the tree multiple times here. But you know what? I'm rather enjoying. There's about a minute of this left. At what point does the campus police get involved?
Because if my child's safety...
So if your son needs police assistance, and he, of course, he can contact us.
Oh, really? And what will happen? Hi, campus police. I'm Jewish. I'm being blockaded from entering a building. Can you come help me, please? How exactly is that going to go at UCLA?
So I'm calling and saying he needs police assistance to get into his class.
Right. That
people aren't letting him into his
right.
class.
This is the call.
We're not forcing them to move out of the area. That's what if he's getting attacked, or he
is. So if they club him with a baseball bat, get back to us, and maybe we'll revisit his situation. But mere freedom to go where he wishes to go, that level of offense, that's just not doesn't the bar is not met.
Yes, but the fact that it's just locked off, they're not intervening with that right now.
Yeah. So if he physically gets attacked, at that point, we should contact you.
All I'm saying is we're not blocking the entrances.
So you're allowing the protesters to block the Jewish students from going?
I'm not allowing it.
Yes, you are. Well, no, you're not, the bureaucrat lady working the phones at the campus police. Right, you're not. But the university institutionally is.
The school is saying that they will not be removed at this time.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Wow. Just wow. All right. Tale of two universities. Here's my friend Jason Whiteley last night at UT in Austin.
I'm Jason Whiteley in Austin. Tonight, there is growing concern the situation here could escalate and potentially lead to violence here at UT. Tonight, we are watching two scenes. Number one, the Travis County Jail, where at least 94 protesters here in Austin were taken and faced misdemeanor criminal charges. Second scene we are watching is directly behind me, the South Mall here on campus, where protesters say they will be spending the night. Take a look at this video, though. For the second time in a week, we did watch police move in on protesters here. This is the group that wants Israel to stop killing civilians in Palestine. UT told us the group today set up an encampment on the South Mall.
Just stop. They want civilians to stop killing civilians. Please let go to the history books. Clearly, these students are imbued with historical knowledge. Find me the war, please. So look it up. You can probably Google it. Find me the war. Where there were no civilians died. Was it America beating Hitler? No. You know for a fact it wasn't the end of the world or the World War II in Japan. Was it anything when you know, even the wars that everybody liked, kicking Saddam out of Kuwait? Anybody, were we completely free of non-combatant debt? No. It's called a necessary part of war. This is historical and moral idiocy.
Officials approached them. UT says protesters became physically and verbally combative. So the university said it again called state troopers to clear that camp. At least 94 people were arrested. Protesters here say they want to call attention to the ongoing civilian deaths.
More than 30,000. Oh, and aren't they just winning fans every day? Aren't there people watching these brats and punks and saying, you know, they might have a point about the plight of the Palestinians.
Of them in Palestine, and more importantly, locally here, they say they want the university to stop investing in companies that aid the Israeli Defense Forces.
Yeah, because that's going to be happening.
Tonight, though, the Travis County attorney, Delia Garza, says she's contacted the university trying to de-escalate the situation. State Senator Sarah Eckhart told us the same thing.
Well, let's let her finish, and then let's talk a little bit about de-escalation.
My job as a representative for this campus is to de-escalate this circumstance on both sides.
On both sides? Okay, well, I guess meaning the protesters and the police. Well, Senator, how exactly do you intend to de-escalate the police response to people who are violating university policy? De-escalation, I don't know. it has a meaning. Generally, it's you have two sides that are getting tense toward each other, and it's getting everybody to calm down. And that there's a certain value in that. I can see that. However, if you have one side that deserves to be arrested, and the people who do the arresting show up to do the arresting, maybe you got to have a little bit of escalation before you get the de-escalation. Yeah? That maybe might need to ramp things up before you ramp things down. That maybe the way to achieve peace, the way to get to calm on these universities, is to have these ne'er-do-well miscreants dragged from the scene and arrested. Two things to follow. If you are a student at the University of Texas, make it any of these universities where it's happening. I do not know what's going to happen at Columbia as this day rolls out. Oh, my heavens. But the solution is you drag the students from there, or you can escort them without dragging them if they're willing to go. And they are immediately expelled from the university. Hey, there you go. And if you have any students who are here on a visa from another country, they are promptly returned to the country of their birth. Ta-da! Easy to say. Apparently tough to do. 950. So in 1974, Elton John releases the album Caribou. Has Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. The Bee is back for a family show. And The Greatness of Pinky. All kinds of, there's some wacky little songs on Caribou that I think are just some of Elton and Bernie Taupin's best. And I just read the Bernie Taupin memoir. And he, like, actively doesn't like some of Caribou and Blue Moves and some of my favorite Elton albums. It's like, Bernie, dude. As perfect as the 4th of July. Ear of the Beholder, I guess. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland on the Twitter at producer Rhonda K. The trial and the error of my master plan. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills. And to Nikki Whaley for News Excellence. God bless our troops, our country, our families. Mike Gallagher is next. So Trump gets hit with some gag order violations. Who knows what's going on the college campuses? I think it's going to be quite the day. Let's get together in the morning, talk about it 7 to 10. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Be good. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.